Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Angelica from Optima. Thanks for joining us. Today, I will go through a market update for oil tankers and the dry bulk carriers. Let's start, and let's start, and let me set the frame in one line. This is a market where distance is beating volume and discipline is beating capacity. We haven't had an explosion in cargo, but we have had longer voyages, lower operating speeds, and enough friction in trade patterns to keep utilization tighter than headline growth would imply. That's why Q3 felt like the firmest stretch since late 2022, and why the leadership today is clearly with crude tankers, while dry bulk is improving into Q4, especially at the top end of the size curve. When we look across the fundamentals, the story keeps repeating. Rerouting and sanctions have redrawn maps, so it's not just lines on charts, and they have nudged the VLCC from a 7-day lag into a 9 or 10 day pattern, or pushed a Cape on one extra long haul every 1 month. You don't need the surge in tones these days when you have quietly added miles and shaved speed. That's the invisible support under earnings. A couple of cross currents are shaping everything underneath. First, the rerouting premium. Second, speed discipline. Some of it regulatory, some of it commercial caution, which keeps effective capacity in check. And third, the calendar. We can all see the 2026 delivery bulge on the horizon, but the question is whether this translates into effective supply once distance and speed are accounted for. And this is about timing, optionality, and duration discipline that matter more than ever. If you glance at the earnings picture on the slide, two things are obvious without me having to narrate the numbers. Crude outperformance is real and broad-based. VLCCs in front, Suezmax and Aframax not far behind. Bulk is mixed. Capes have broken out of the pack. Mid-sizes are flatter and rely more on seasonals and cargo mix. And the cash flow stick right now still sits with crude. Bulk offers upside if you pick your spots. And now I'm just going quickly to address the China-US link vessel port fees as a hot topic for the month. The mechanics matter more than the headlines. It's a first port fee capped at 5 charged voyages per ship per year, and those two rules put a hard ceiling on how often this can bite any given vessel. When you step back and look at actual 2025 sailing patterns, the share of China calls potentially exposed sits in low single digit for all tankers and around 1% or even less for the dry bulk. Even if you broaden the definition of, in general, US linked. So, where does it show up? Not in a structural capacity squeeze, but in micro premia and volatility. Non-US linked hulls can earn a little extra on China legs. US linked hulls either price the fee, reroute, or swap employment. Meanwhile, the paperwork catches up, and that's charter parties get cleaner. In other words, it's a friction, not a fracture. It requires intelligence and contracting discipline, not panic. Let's start with dry bulk. For context, by late October, bulker markets hit a 19-month high before easing, evidence that fundamentals and sentiment can pivot quickly. On paper, 2025 still looks moderate, tone miles up a touch, fleet growth a bit higher, and in practice, the market feels better. Slower speeds on survey of hire remove some capacity, and the composition of trade helps. Iron ore remains steady or firm because of Brazilian long haul that keeps Capes busy. Bauxite stands out as a clean ton mile story into Asia. Grains benefit from strong US-Brazil supply and seasonal peaks that lift Panamax and Kamsarmaxes. Coal rebounded through late summer after a short first half, and the data behind the story are moving the right way. Overall, dry bulk volume rose by some 3% year-on-year in Q3, after a minus 1% year-on-year during the first half of 2025, driven mainly by coal's rebound alongside firm iron ore, bauxite, and grain exports. Earnings do look well supported heading into Q4, but the market will keep watching underlying Chinese demand and the US-China trade channel. Policy impulses have mattered. Around Golden Week, sentiment wobbled on the reported ban on some BHP iron cargoes, and sentiment then firmed when China announced additional port fees for US-linked vessels before leveling again. At the same time, China's ongoing lack of buying of US grains remain a drag on certain Panamax routes. Looking to 2026, Optima expects Capesizes to keep outperforming the smaller segments. The Simandou ramp-up in Guinea should add long-haul Cape volumes, while fleet growth concentrates below Cape. Energy transition pressures are likely to gradually cap coal, and there is a genuine scenario risk next year. Chinese import demand can swing fast, and a partial normalization of Red Sea routing would be a small drag on ton miles versus today's detours. Even so, the long-haul bias keeps the Cape case intact. Turning into tankers, the structure is still clean. In 2025, crude deadweight demand grows faster than crude fleet. This past week was slightly softer overall, but new US sanctions on Russia's largest producers, Lukoil and Rosneft, saw rates firm into last Friday. Average crude earnings closed near $70,700 per day, with near-term upside if Indian and state-backed Chinese refiners trim Russian purchases and push more barrels into mainstream trade. The sanctioned fleet now accounts roughly 908 tankers, and that's about 16% of total oil tanker capacity, and number close to 19% of crude, which is a material segmentation that keeps substitution imperfect and ton mile math supportive. Add then OPEC plus supply management and US to Asia long hauls, and VLCCs and Suezmaxes keep to be very well supported. The 2026 delivery lamp is visible, but the real question is whether effective supply growth grows as quickly as spreadsheets imply. If speeds stay anchored and distance remains elevated, the answer is actually not that much. Product tankers deserve here a measured tone. They've been resilient, but this is increasingly a selection story. Deliveries are heavy across the next 4 to 6 quarters, particularly at the LR2 segment. Yet, the effective growth isn't as scary as once you account for LR2 that drift dirty when economics dictate. So the way to survive that mix is flexibility. LR2s with dirty option, or MRs that are tethered to US Gulf export programs and can pivot when refinery maintenance or slate changes jolt the clean balance. It's less about absolute rate prints and more about owning the optionality that actually protects your P&L when the product map shuffles. Where does actually the allocation, where does that leave allocation and risk? Optimus views direct. Overweight crude into winter, led by VLCCs, Suezmaxes, face exposure through the 2026 delivery profile rather than adding long duration in one step. In the dry bulk, Capesize is the high conviction expression of the long haul theme. So treat the mid-sizes as a tactical book. That's seasonal, regional, and cargo mix selective. And in the product tankers, stay balanced and prioritize optionality. Risk management is about three live issues. Policy and sanctions can actually redraw maps overnight, adding or removing ton miles quickly. The delivery frequency can become a headwind if speeds increase just as new ships hit the water, and that's effective supply can rise faster than a spreadsheet suggests. And finally, China's commodity cycle matters. Iron ore and bauxite have been doing real work for the dry bulk. A softer tone there would trim the Cape story fast. None of these are certainties, but they are plausible enough to plan for. Alongside this, we will keep an eye on geopolitics as Trump and President Xi meeting next Thursday in Korea is being flagged amid talk of new US tariffs and China rare earth export controls. With a current trade truce due to expire on the 10th of November. Any safe these changes routing risks and pricing power fast. Into the next update, Optima will track OPEC Plus compliance, the pace of China restocking, the Brazil iron ore program, Guinea bauxite, and US Brazil grain seasonals, plus how quickly China fee closes standardize in spot and in period business. These are the switches that move utilization and cash generation without a single extra ton of cargo at the moment. So to close, the working rule is simple and practical. Own optionality, phase duration. Optionality keeps earnings resilient when routes shift, fees apply, or a certain vessel class swings to dirty cargoes. Phasing duration manages the 2026 supply slope without actually surrendering exposure to a constructive winter. If distance and discipline remain in place and both are still visible, there is no need for significant demand to have a good year. The job is to keep contracts tight, keep fleets flexible, and let those two forces do most of the work. Thank you so much. See you next time.